Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. Never discount what God is doing. When God puts something in motion, it's in motion. And it's going to finish its course. Many times along the way, as you obey God and as you follow Him, He will have you to do things you may not understand. But you're still required to believe Him. And if you do, you're going to find out that it works. And you won't be, I promise you, you're not going to be disappointed. And in the course of me following the Lord my God, I would ask Him questions when I didn't understand. And many times I just didn't understand fully. I had a reference. Peace is the reference. And I know the Lord's voice. I know what He said do. And He'll stick with it. And people who follow God, they have the same situation that I had. All throughout the Word of God, people have, the Lord would tell them to do something, they would do it. They were not fully enlightened to what God was doing. And I can prove it many ways. The Lord will give you something to do. It's a path, and then He'll give you other things as you continue forward. There are times you come to a point you think you got it all figured out. Then He'll tell you to do something that you're not familiar with. And it's the same Lord, same Jesus, same Father, same Holy Spirit that guides you. And obedience is the key. In Luke chapter 10, and I've been in this chapter for about a month now at the Sunday school. The Lord, verse 1 says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place where He Himself would come. Then He gave them instructions. Verse 2 says, therefore He said unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Verse 3 says, go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Isn't that interesting? You're going out to speak for me, but you're like lambs among wolves. The Lord will give you instructions for what you got to do. You have to pay attention and receive what He's saying because it's going to be relevant. When they ran into the wolves, they weren't surprised as much as they would have if He didn't tell them that. And whatever He told them, He's telling us too. Then He said, and into whatsoever house ye enter, well, he said also, carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes nor salute no man by the way. In other words, I'm going to provide for you. You don't have to provide for yourself. Take what they already got shoes on. They don't have to take extra stuff. The Lord's going to provide it along the way. And that's one thing we have to learn from Him. If He tell you to do something, He's going to equip you as it's necessary. Then He said, and into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. We can't minister without His peace. People don't receive the word unless peace is established first. The word of God is sown in peace. So if the Son of Peace is in there, your peace will come back to you, and that means they rejected it. When it comes back to you, you'll feel it, and you can't help them. Verse 7, and in the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. In other words, your light will do the work. You don't have to go and make people believe. You don't have to force people to believe. Your light, your generosity, your kindness, your sincere, unfeigned love will represent Jesus for you. He didn't say, make your light shine. He said, let it shine. These are things that I learned in the course of following Christ. Because in my mind, I thought I had to do it a certain way. The Thurston Hamby way. Or the pastors that I served under. I thought I should do it that way. But when I followed Christ, he would use the things that were necessary that we did have. And there were things that he used through me that I learned through others, my pastors and such, other Christians. But then there were times when silence was the call of the day. Don't say anything. Just live the life. And then he'll open the door for me to speak, and then I'll speak. And we have to learn these things. But he's given it to us in chapter 10. And he said, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, the laborers worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Let your light do the work. Verse 8. And in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Receive it as a gift. Because remember, the word is sown in peace. And heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is near unto you. You just lay hands on them and pray in faith, and the Lord will do the manifestations. Don't ever try to make something manifest. If you follow the Holy Spirit, you'll do this perfectly. He's with you, and he's going to show himself strong on your behalf if you'll show yourself strong on his behalf. The Lord told me once, what you push, I push. What you pull, I pull. We have to start it. All the miracles Jesus ever did was done through men. From the time that God made Adam to the last man born, all the miracles here will be done through men until Christ come and take it all back. Whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaves on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is near unto you. Now this is an area of life that the church has failed. We need to tell people flat-footed, the kingdom of God is near you. This is the only way out of this. And in latter years, I got bolder and bolder. The Lord told me about 5 years ago, you need to be more frank with people. And I started working on it. Don't be afraid to say there's a hell. Don't be afraid to say there's a heaven. Don't be afraid to tell people to their face that Jesus is the only way out of this problem that we have. And let them know that they're in danger if they don't get saved. That's just reasonable. But then he said this, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, They had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Woe thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down into hell. Woe thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. Capernaum will be thrust down to hell. They wouldn't listen. Then he said this, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. He that despises you despises me. If you're speaking in his name, he sent you, you're speaking for him. If they despise you, they despise Jesus who sent you and God who sent him. Now watch this. This is what I was getting to. Remember, these are the instructions he gave to the second 70. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now watch this. Verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them even unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Now watch this. And he turned himself unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. This is the key verse, 24. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Even though they prophesied that Christ would come, they didn't see it the way that the disciples saw it. See, the plan of God is, if you follow God, you're introduced into an ongoing plan of God, and you're learning it as you go. And as you qualify and as you do things, he'll give you more. That's the only way you're going to see the end game. You have to stay in the race. You have to stay in it. You have to grow from glory to glory. And as you grow from glory to glory, at the right time, timing is important. Some things you're not going to learn until it's time. And there's a great reason for it. Sometimes people can't appreciate the words you may have to give at the right time, because people don't understand that the Lord reveals things on a time basis as well as a faithfulness basis. Now, when you have faithfulness, and this, the God kind of faithfulness is this: we don't just receive God's word, we also simultaneously reject the darkness of this world. And some people do it different. They reject darkness, and then the Lord give them light, and they receive it. So you have to do both. It's not really important which is first as much as it is to do both. Some people try to receive God's word, but they don't do anything about rejecting the darkness, or they don't do enough about rejecting darkness. They still peep at the computer. They still do things that are certain in a worldly manner. They excuse their lust, or they excuse their pride, and they still try to receive the word of God. It's going to be a clash in their life, and their life can't represent God fully, and it will hinder them from receiving the intricate light and the intricate glories of the Lord that will help us to make the difference. So in the plan of God, one of the things that the Lord do before he do a mighty move, he gets rid of darkness. So don't disqualify what God has qualified until the time comes up. See, the Lord, he didn't come to give peace but a sword. He's dividing light from darkness. And this is the January the 7th. This is the day after January the 6th, which will go down in history because people stormed the Capitol yesterday. But see, the Lord is, I believe that he's using these things to divide light from darkness. And I know for a fact that the Lord, our God and King, appointed President Donald John Trump to be the president of this wonderful nation. One of the things he said he'd do is make America great again. He loves the country. He is a patriot. Another thing that he's done, he said, I will drain the swamp. See, before the Lord do things, he gets rid of idolatry. He exposes it for what it is. When Gideon was commissioned to go and fight for Israel, he couldn't go until he turned his daddy's idols over. And people were so devoted to this nonsense that he felt like he had to do it at night to survive. So he was afraid to do it in the daytime, which probably would have been a good idea to do it in the daytime and let them see you doing it. But he did it in the nighttime. Nevertheless, he did it. And then when they realized that he had done it, they said, nobody did this but Gideon. And they call him, Gideon said that they gave him a name because he's Jerubbabel. They called him Jerubbabel because when they confronted him, he said, let Baal defend himself. And they called Gideon Jerubbabel. Nevertheless, it was known that he had no allegiance to their idol God. And I believe with all my heart, everything that's attached to the move of God that shouldn't be will divide. And I believe that the things that transpire, see, nothing that's of God is without a fight. Ever since Donald Trump was in office, he began immediately making sound choices that should have been done by every president we ever had. He took us out of bad deals. He got rid of the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was a disaster from the time they first conceived it. He began to bring jobs back. And he was attacked by foreign sources and internal sources. They spent all of our taxpaying dollars that they could scrape up to try to remove the man that God put in office. Then the media lied to people to their face. They lied to the nations. And they still lie. And not to mention Antifa that started riots. And they tried to blame that on Trump. And then there are people within his cabinet and within the organization that were not fully committed. So things happen to divide the darkness from the light. God is going to do this all the way down to every family, every group. Hear me good. I mean this. This is true. Everything that's not like himself, he's going to divide it from him. Now, biblical kings were not always biblical. The kings that God chose to be kings were not always right, but they served a purpose. But God deals with people that's fully committed and fully persuaded. And, you know, the reason I'm saying this and bringing it up is because that's what the Lord put on my heart. And I run with it. Now, people think about the swamp. He said he would drain the swamp. Republicans would say the swamp is the Democrats, and many people would agree. And possibly not every Democrat. Hopefully not. But the swamp includes more than just the people in the House and Senate. Some of the people in the swamp are Democrats. Some are Republicans. Some are even cabinet. Could be. I don't know. God knows. Some could be cabinet members. The swamp is huge. It could be generals in the swamp. It could be some of the agents in the FBI, CIA, probably many right there, NSA. Swamp is huge. Anybody that'll take a bribe, anybody that loves the world, anybody that will extort, anybody that will bully people, or try to leverage people. Any kind of extorter is in the swamp. And remember, the swamp is rich. They can pay hitmen. They can find dirt on you and threaten to expose it. And good people get caught up under the power of the swamp. And some people are so focused on hating Donald Trump that they won't listen. See, Jesus said if a person, he just told his people, if they despise you, they despise me. And it's very important to catch what Jesus said. Verse 16, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despises you despises me, and he that despises me despises him that sent me. So anybody that loved the world, they're capable of despising anybody that God was sent, even up to Jesus Christ. He called them to be a president. And a man of God that I love to listen to, Steve Quayle, said that Trump is God's prosecuting attorney. I'm looking at the mission that he would do, that he said that he would drain the swamp and make America great again. And he's been a friend to Christians and Jews. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That should have been done a long time ago. But our presidents before were so afraid to do it because the animosity was so great. And sometimes it may not have been as wise to do it. But after the 60s, it was wise to do it. They were too afraid to do it. They were advised not to do it. And partially by the swamp. What I see in this day and hour, the Lord is about to return. My focus is on Jesus more than it is on the president. But I knew that something needed to happen to get America's attention. Because when the Lord gets ready to do something, he exposes darkness for what it is. With all my heart, I believe that Donald Trump stood for God, and I believe God's going to stand for him. Even if the Lord came back today, he did what he was supposed to do. And even though they said they decided to run with Joe Biden, which I believe the swamp helped steal the election from Trump, because he had more votes. He had more electoral votes, and they have proven. Rudy Giuliani, I love him. He's the one that helped clean up New York. He don't take bribes, and he don't take threats. and he proved discrepancies in the states that he's involved with that the voting was fraudulent. And if America allowed this to go on, and the swamp will definitely tried to keep him out of office in the first place. But the world don't want God in their thinking. They're just like the first generation. That's why this is happening. And then they do that dirt and try to blame it on this man that God appointed. That is a patriot. The swamp also includes people that are lawless. And see, before God go to battle, and he use a man, See, God chose Gideon's army. And he can shake, God knows how to shake things up and shake things out and start over. Don't be so fast to disqualify the man that God has put in charge. Pray that God will continue to use him until Jesus come back. He told us to occupy till he come. Now, it's your job to go in prayer. I believe that God chose him because of the way it happened. I watched how Mark Taylor had a dream that he would be president. He told his doctor. His doctor told his wife, who was a prayer warrior, and she started a prayer chain. And most people didn't see him as being president. But some people got on board when they began to hear his speech, and they prayed for him. Is he perfect? No. You don't have to be perfect. You have to be chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And he is appointed to run the country. He wasn't appointed to preach the gospel. And he talks no different than the average person that I know. And some people say things that's off color. They tell off color joke. I'm not excusing it. But one day I was in the shop. And he said, well, he did this and he said that. They caught him on camera saying lustful things about women. I said, who in this shop has never done that before? And it made my friend think about it a minute. He said, everybody did. Well, now, and even before I got saved, I said off color jokes. They just didn't know me, you know. But in my past, I got friends that can tell you things that I said that I shouldn't have said before I got saved. And some people, even though they got saved, they still said some things that they shouldn't have said. And they still let words slip that they shouldn't let slip. And God is still trying to save our sorrow behind. But the Lord, every person is a creation. And we have to follow. I came to a point that when I met Jesus, I said, Lord, I was ashamed of all the things that I'd done that was wrong. And I said, Lord, I wish I could just go back in time and not do that jump and not think that way. But all I could do, there's no time machine, but there's the blood of Jesus there, and he forgave me. And after he forgave me, I was done with it. And it took me 6 months to stop using foul language. I couldn't control my mouth. I kept on praying and asking the Lord to help me. And I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and after that, from that time to this one, it wasn't a problem to not say foul words, profanity. And when people tell off-color jokes and say lustful things about women, I just turn, even though they're my friends, I turn around and walk away, and they know I'll do it. And sometimes they do it to prove that I'll do it to somebody else. And through that, through living the light, you earn people's respect. You don't have to compromise. And one thing I like about Trump, when it comes to this nation, he will not compromise. And he's not afraid to be himself. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said. And actually, the things that he says is the way people actually feel, but they're just too cowardly to do something about it. And that, I figured that, anybody that went through the problems that he went through, I figured they'd fold or just give up. But he don't. He's relentless. And that proves that God chose him. Because Gideon was just as relentless. He had 300 men and he went to battle against tens of thousands of people. And the Lord fought for him. And then he stuck with it. Then he took the 300 men and chased some of them and caught the kings that was after him. The tribe of Ephraim wanted to fight him because he went to battle without him. Ephraim wanted to fight Gideon because he went to battle without him. And now we need to be just as relentless as we need to be. And it's necessary to be relentless, to go after, even though you have a small number, to know for a fact that God is with you, you go to battle anyway, and you do what's necessary anyway, and you win anyway. It don't have to look good, it don't have to look right, but one thing about it, everything that can be shaken away will be shaken away. When I'm looking at the handiwork of God, I've seen it too many times in the scriptures. And the prophets have said that Trump would do a second term. After walking around with Jesus, I just don't give in to what I see anymore, like I used to. I'm better at looking at him. If you look at him, you'll know. Now, it's your job to go before the Lord yourself and ask the Lord, what's going on? Should I trust this man? You shouldn't do it just because I say it or other prophets. The prophets are subject to the prophets. prophets can be wrong unless they speak by the Holy Spirit. And so far they have. It'll be impossible for me to doubt against them now. How are you praying? Now that was a necessary part. And the Lord told me himself that a few of his people are actually praying about this. Most people then gave up on it. I don't give up on what God ordains. See, the swamp can be bigger.